early voting is soaring ahead of Election Day.
In the states where we're able to measure it, we are seeing all the signs that say that there's going to be a historic level of early voting, and that in addition to that, we are also seeing signs that overall, this could be an election where we see record high turnout.
But that's also presenting challenges. We'll talk about how states are handling the surge, plus what's driving U.S. retail spending higher, and a 1970s classic is fizzing out, why Coca-Cola is pulling a diet soda pioneer. It's Friday, October 16th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The number of confirmed U.S. coronavirus cases has now surpassed 8 million. The latest surge appears to be hitting Midwestern states, including Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Indiana, the hardest. Yesterday, all four reported their highest single-day totals since the pandemic began, according to Johns Hopkins University. And overall, more than 63,000 infections were reported across the U.S. Our U.S. reporter Jennifer Kalfas says there are several factors driving the surge.
Colder weather that we're experiencing in many U.S. states right now is bringing people indoors more, where the virus is more transmittable. Also, we're seeing across the board changes in behavior, and that kind of comes with seasons and this time of the year in general. Students are returning to school, college students are returning to campus, and folks also have what some experts are calling pandemic fatigue, which means they're kind of tired of staying at home. Maybe they're tired of wearing their masks and just kind of tired in general of these preventative steps that we're taking, even in some areas where they've seemed to have actually worked. A lot of epidemiologists and infectious disease experts I've spoken with over the last week or so have cited an ongoing confusion and complacency that has derived a lot from the mixed messaging and confusing messaging that we've received from the federal government over the course of this pandemic.
The U.S. budget gap tripled to a record $3.1 trillion in the latest fiscal year, largely due to a surge in federal spending to combat the pandemic. The Treasury Department says spending rose 47% as the government distributed emergency business loans, enhanced jobless benefits, and stimulus payments. At the same time, federal revenue declined as the country locked down and millions of Americans were laid off from their jobs. Pfizer says it could apply to the Food and Drug Administration for emergency use of its COVID-19 vaccine by late November. That's if the drug maker's trial stays on schedule and the vaccine is proven to work safely in late-stage testing. Pfizer is currently in that stage and is in the process of enrolling some 44,000 volunteers. U.S. consumers are still opening their wallets. Retail spending rose 1.9% in September, marking a fifth straight month of increases. Our economics reporter Harriet Torrey has more on what's behind the uptick.
September's kind of an interesting month because it's not quite holiday season, but it is sort of the tail end of the back-to-school retail period. And this year, because a lot of schools didn't go back to in-person teaching till the middle of September, some of that back-to-school shopping was slightly delayed. So we saw a bit of that. Like, say, for instance, clothing sales were up by a lot, and also sporting goods sales were up pretty high. September was definitely a continuation of some of the trends that we've been seeing over the past few months. So, for instance, home furnishings have been doing well, furniture, a lot of things that people are buying in order to kind of hunker down for more months of working from home. But September was definitely stronger than previous months. We definitely saw like quite a big boost, and a lot of that came from vehicle sales. So, you know, Labor Day promotions, people going out and buying new cars. And again, this is also, economists say this is a sign that people are expecting to be potentially at home for longer because they're shunning public transport. And that's why a lot of people want to buy a new car.
As for the months ahead, Harriet says Amazon's Prime Day sales event this week marked an unofficial kickoff to the holiday shopping season. Amazon said third-party businesses on its platform sold more than $3.5 billion during the two-day event, up 60% from last year.
It's going to be an extended holiday season. And of course, we also saw some other big box stores doing big promotional deals this week in lockstep with what Amazon did. What retail analysts are saying is that a lot of this is to obviously avoid crowding in stores, you know, because of the pandemic. People probably don't want to be in a big Black Friday crowd shopping with lots of other people. So retailers are trying to push these earlier online promotions and so on. Another reason for that, though, is also shipping and shipping costs. As we get closer to, you know, the holidays, retailers don't want to have a big sudden surge in shipping demand because shipping costs are going to go up, and also, you know, inventory could end up being tight. So it's easier for retailers to try and spread this retail shopping over 3 months instead of, you know, the usual month between Thanksgiving and the end of the year.
With just over 2 weeks to go before Election Day, many states are seeing historic levels of early voting. We'll check in on how it's going after the break. Early voting is underway in most states, and already some of them are reporting a surge that could boost overall turnout to record levels. Several states say they've already received more early ballots than they did in the 2016 election. But handling that unprecedented surge isn't going smoothly everywhere. Joining me now to check in on how voting is going across the nation is our national political reporter, Chad Day. Hi, Chad. Thanks for being here.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
So, Chad, we know there's been a surge in early voting so far this election season. What can you tell us about how many more Americans are voting early, whether by mail or in person, and how that's comparing to what we saw in 2016?
Right. So we are actually seeing historic levels of early voting. And in several states, including, you know, battleground states like Pennsylvania and New Hampshire, we're seeing them surpass their 2016 early vote levels. And so here, you know, with less than 3 weeks out, states are already going over where they were in early voting in 2016. And I think that when you talk to people who are watching this very closely, what they're saying is that it's almost certain, you know, that we are going to surpass the early vote that we saw in 2016, which, according to the Associated Press, was somewhere around about 58 million.
What states are we seeing a surge in so far?
We're seeing a surge in states like Pennsylvania, you know, a state that's not traditionally had a lot of early voting, but now is having it. And it's also a very crucial battleground state. It's one where Joe Biden and President Trump are traveling to and holding campaign events and spending a lot of money there because it's a crucial battleground state. We're also seeing it in states like Michigan, where they're nearing kind of going over that 2016 level. And also states like North Carolina, where, you know, we're seeing a big surge in mail-in voting. They were the first state to start early voting this year. And so, you know, we're kind of seeing it across a broad cross-section of the country.
So along with this, we've also been reporting on some of the challenges local officials are facing amid this surge. For example, in Georgia this week, people reported having to wait in line for hours. Can you tell us more about what happened there and some of the other regional challenges we're seeing so far?
Yeah, so that was early in-person voting where they saw a lot of lines. This was in particularly in some of the urban counties and more suburban counties, larger population centers around Atlanta, where on the first day of early voting, they saw record amounts of people come in to cast ballots. And, you know, there were long lines for the first few days of that. But I think, you know, by midweek and late week, that had kind of dissipated. I think there was an initial surge. But I think that, you know, you can expect to see that across the country where people who are nervous about casting their ballots through the mail, whether that's because of the rhetoric of President Trump or because of some of the things that have come out about the Postal Service and you know, the potential for mail to be slow, there is this kind of level of anxiety that people are saying, you know, maybe they were going to vote by mail early on due to the pandemic, and now they're changing their mind. And so they're going and kind of filling up the lines at these early vote areas. And so I think that, you know, we will start to see that as more states start opening up, you know, the deadlines kind of open up for them to do these early in-person voting. Everything is pointing to people being very enthusiastic and really wanting to go out and vote early to try to avoid, you know, being packed into lines on Election Day. One of the larger concerns there, obviously, is that election officials preparing and doing what they can to make sure that there aren't long lines, because that can also be an impediment for people to vote. And so right now we're seeing that in some states, and you're also seeing officials try to respond to make sure that that's not, somebody's not standing in line so long that they may not feel that they have time to vote or be turned away.
What are some of the things states are doing to prevent situations like that?
Particularly with the pandemic, there's kind of a wide array of things that they've done. In some areas, they've opened up polling locations in larger venues to make sure that they have the ability to be able to have people spaced out in lines to kind of practice social distancing, but also have more machines, to have more poll workers. They're reaching out and trying to recruit and train as many poll workers as they can, because they know it's going to be not only that there's this potential for a very high turnout, but also it's going to be a more complicated election because you're having to take so many steps to make sure that people have the proper protective equipment, that they're taking the precautions that are necessary in a pandemic. And so what we are seeing a lot of local election officials do is try to plan early on that, and also to invest in voting machines and having the people available there to try to speed up the voting process.
Okay, so we are now just over 2 weeks out from Election Day. What are the expectations for voter turnout during that period and potential concerns heading into that final stretch?
I think that right now we're expecting there to be, like we've seen so far, a continuation of these historic levels of people turning out early and going ahead and kind of, you know, checking that box and voting either in person or through the mail. And so, you know, we won't be able to know exactly what the turnout looks like until we get to Election Day. But in the states where we're able to measure it, we are seeing all the signs that say that there's going to be a historic level of early voting. And that in addition to that, we are also seeing signs that overall, this could be an election where we see record high turnout.
What's the latest you can tell us about the process of tabulating the votes and when we might know a final result?
Well, I think there's two parts to this. One is that so far, you know, based on the polling that we've seen, I think voters who are reporting that they're going to vote early, it appears that Mr. Biden, you know, Joe Biden is actually doing very well with early voters or people who are going to say that, and that Republicans are saying that they're more likely to vote on Election Day. And so it's setting up kind of the potential for there to be a lot of Democratic votes that are coming in to those early voting sites, and that will be counted as early votes, and then a lot of Republican votes that would come in to the Election Day count. And so, you know, what's important about thinking about, you know, when will we know the result of this election is that each individual state has separate rules of how they count. And so what we're going to be looking for is the potential for states that are doing this early processing of ballots, particularly with the early ballots where they're able to open envelopes, they're able to kind of check the ballot and then get it ready to be counted. Those are the states that might report earlier than others. And then we'll be watching states that don't allow that, or states that don't start the counting process until on Election Day. And so I think what we're preparing everyone for is that, you know, you could expect a few days time go by if the election is close. And I think a lot of people are talking about an election week instead of an election day.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal national political reporter Chad Day. Chad, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, Coca-Cola is saying goodbye to an iconic brand from decades past. Tab is fizzing out. Tab was Coca-Cola's first diet soda, but sales started going flat after the company introduced Diet Coke. And by last year, Tab represented just 0.1% of global Diet Cola sales. Our reporter Jennifer Maloney, whose beat includes the beverage industry, says the company kept the fading Tab brand around for years to appeal to its loyal base of fans.
It was introduced in 1963. The Coca-Cola company developed it with the sweeteners they had available at the time, including saccharin, which has a metallic aftertaste, and it is really polarizing. Some people hate it, other people love it. And later diet sodas like Diet Coke used a different sweetener called aspartame, or you might know it as NutraSweet. But Tab sort of is known, its sort of signature flavor is this kind of weird metallic biting flavor, which either makes you love it or hate it.
Tab is just one of potentially hundreds of brands that Coca-Cola says it's reevaluating amid the pandemic. It's also bidding farewell to its smoothie and juice business Odwalla, Zico Coconut Water, and less popular cola flavors like Coke Life and Diet Coke Feisty Cherry. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week with help from Paolo Bossanin, Mark Garrison, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Trine Nori, Charlie Turner, Sam Westren, J.R. Whalen, and Chris Sinsley. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.